Welcome to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston, where we will learn refreshing truth that is straight from the Bible.
Hi, this is John Edmiston here with Uplifting Moments, and we'll be looking at Genesis 1, 26 through 28 today. A little bit more about creation, about God, about the wonderful things that he's doing in our life, and how we're made in the image of God. But before we do that, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that tells us about our existence. We thank you that you've made us in the image of God, male and female, to represent your glory here on earth. And we ask now, Lord, that you will open our ears, open our spiritual eyes, help us to behold wonders from your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are in the book of Genesis, first book of the Bible, written by Moses many, many years ago. And here it says in verse 26, Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So here God is creating us. He's creating us as people, as the peak of his creation. And Moses here had a great insight that every human being since Adam is made in the image of God. Not just the Jews or the Egyptians or the Assyrians, but every single human being of every race and every kind is made in the image and glory of God. Whether you're Australian like me, or you're American, or you're from India or the Philippines or Japan, you are part of that race, that human race, which is in the image of God. And we are all creatures of dignity and worth. Every single human being has dignity and worth. Male and female, all of humanity has dignity and worth because we are made in the image of our Creator. Because there is one Creator of all beings of heaven and earth, and that is God. And we are in the image and likeness of God. Now, physically, we all look different. And it doesn't mean that God looks like me or like you or like Bill Gates or anyone else. God doesn't look like any particular human being. He is the invisible God. He is the God behind all of creation. And he is love and he is truth. The image is a spiritual image. We are like God in that we have a conscience. We know right and we know wrong. We can be creative. We can invent things. We have the ability to communicate by writing and by speech. No other species has that. Our cats at home are very smart, particularly one cat called Mozzie. But Mozzie's a great cat and we love him dearly. He's getting old now. But Mozzie is not made in the image of God. He's part of God's creation. He's precious. He's God. He has an animal soul. And I'm sure that we'll see our pets in heaven. I think there's some indications of that in Scripture. But Mozzie is not made in the image of God. Mozzie is a wonderful creation. But you and I and every living human being is in the image of God. And we have the ability to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are someone that is brought into this world for a reason. And that reason is to reflect the glory of God. You're supposed to be like God. And in fact, in one of the books of the New Testament, it says, "Be imitators of God, dearly beloved children." I think that's Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God, because you're called to be like Jesus. You're called to be like God. You're called to be in the image of God. And in Romans 8, 29 to 31, it says that we are called to be in the image of God's beloved Son. And in 1 John 3, it says, "We do not know what we'll be like after the resurrection, but we know that we're going to be like him." We're going to be, in some way, little images of the great God. Now, we don't get worshipped. We're not gods. We don't become gods, but we become the image of God. We become brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. We become part of the family of God, and we have a family resemblance to the deity who created the heavens and the earth. And we become his children in his court. We become child of the king. And so God has made us to be like him, to have wisdom, to have consciousness, to have love, to have peace, to have joy, to have a sense of justice and truth about us. And in the unfolding ages, we will become more and more like God. We'll become deeper. We'll become wiser. I don't know what we're going to be like in a million years' time, but I know we will be like God because we're made to be in his image. And it's a long spiritual journey throughout eternity. You're not just made here to be a sportsman or a movie star or someone like that. You're to become like Jesus. That's your journey here in this life. That's the purpose of your existence. That's why you go through trials and sufferings, so that you can be perfected, so that you can lose that terrible temper that you've got, so that you can put on Christ, and that you can put on love and compassion and kindness and humility, that you can show forgiveness, that you can show that you know what the truth is, and that you can walk fairly and with integrity and do justice in the earth. You are to be like God. I don't mean you to have some godlike power at the top of some huge corporation and to decide who lives and who dies or who's fired and who's employed and things like that. We're not to be God in the sense of being proud and pompous and sitting on a throne. That's not our role. God puts up those rulers of the world he wishes and takes down others. That's his job. But our job is to reflect the character of Christ, the character of God. And that's what you're made for. You're not made to be in some special position on TV or politics and that. The jobs you have here on this earth, the jobs you have here on this life, they're just the means to the end. They shape you. They're ways that you can deliver grace and truth to people. They're the ways you can do good for people and help people, like a nurse helps people or a doctor helps people or a lawyer helps people. They're there so you can help others. You can be a firefighter. You can be a policeman. You can be a school teacher. But they're part of your journey. And if your work is making you into a better person, not a better person, if your work is messing you up on the inside so you're full of hate and envy, then you need to get out of that job. Because your journey in this life is to be like God. It's to be like Jesus. It's to be full of kindness and truth. Now, and so he says to them, he creates the male and female. God creates us to reproduce. He creates us to have families. He creates us to be different. Myself and my wife are very different people. He's created me to be male and my wife to be female. And he's put us together as husband and wife and let no man separate us. He's created us, male and female, for the purpose of populating this earth and doing his will. And God makes us all different, in some ways small and some ways large. But both, male and female, are part of the image of God. It's not just men. In some cults and some religions, especially before Jesus, it was thought only men went to heaven. And at the end of the apocryphal Gospel of St. Thomas, which is not a real gospel, it's a made-up one much later, it says that women have to become men and be reincarnated as men before they can be saved. That's not the position of Scripture at all. Women are in the image of God, and they are co-heirs of salvation with us. It says that in 1 Peter. And so women inherit salvation, and men inherit salvation, and we are both created in the image and glory of God, and we both can be saved, and we can both make a terrific contribution to the kingdom of God. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it." Okay, so what is this blessing? It starts out with be fruitful and multiply. Fruitful meaning that your life is full of the goodness of God. It's full of fruit. It bears fruit. Your life is not shriveled up. It's not dry. It's fruitful. You're happy. You're joyful. You're in the place where you should be. Multiply is like an exponential word. Whatever you do multiplies. You're no longer under the curse. You're no longer being harassed. You're no longer struggling. You're multiplying, both physically and financially and all the other ways. You're multiplying. You're having a effect which keeps on compounding. Your life has a sort of compound interest effect to it. And generation after generation, there's this great multiplication. And we see that with Abraham. He just starts off with Isaac. And then Isaac gives birth to Jacob. So it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And eventually Jacob has 12 sons, and those 12 sons become the 12 tribes of Israel. And eventually the 12 tribes of Israel become millions and millions of people. And then Christ comes, and that rootstock becomes the root of the entire church. And now there are billions of people who are sons of Abraham through faith. And Abraham has multiplied out to the entire Christian church. So we are to multiply. We are to fill the earth, and we're to have dominion over it. Now, we're to subdue it. But that dominion is not a negative dominion. It doesn't mean we go around being greedy and tearing up the earth and destroying it. It's we were put in the garden to cultivate it. We're to make the earth work. We're to make creation work. And so in a blessing, you're fruitful, you'll multiply, and you have some kind of authority. You can take hold of the bit that God's given you to do in life, and you work at it with authority and with strength and with power. You're not a weakling. You're strong. You're courageous. You walk out into life with confidence because God told you to subdue all the nonsense in the world. He sent you out into this world to be powerful, not to be weak, not to be afraid, not to be neurotic or scared. God wants you to be a subduer and a multiplier and a fruitful person. God wants you to be in His image. He wants you to be full of good things and spiritual things. Now, we can't do that on our own. We need Jesus in our heart and our life if we're to be able to be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the world. Because it's only God's spiritual power operating in you and through you that can make that happen. And God loves you, and He's going to arrange your life for success, for multiplication, for fruitfulness, and to have dominion. The devil might oppose that. But if you're saved, God's on your side, God loves you, and God wants you to be fruitful, to multiply, and have dominion because He's created you for that. He wants you to reflect His glory, and He wants you to have love and joy and peace in your life, because He's made you to be in His image and to reflect His glory. And how does a defeated person reflect the glory of God? So be encouraged. God doesn't want you to be defeated. He wants you to be a mirror of the glorious God who created the heavens, the earth, and all things in them. He wants you to be an image of the God who is full of wisdom and intelligence. So He will give you those attributes. He will download them into your heart if you ask them. Any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. If you need wisdom, love, peace, or joy, just ask of God, and He will give it to you because He wants you to be fully in the image of God, not full of sin and anger, not full of sadness and sorrow, but full of the joy of the Lord. And God wants you to go from strength to strength in your life because you are His child. You are being made into His image. You're to have His nature. You're to have Christ in your heart. And you are, in Ephesians 3, it says, to be filled up with all the fullness of God. You're to have God filling you up right to the top. So you're filled up with all the fullness of God, filled up with the Holy Ghost and full of joy. So I'm calling you to a higher calling than you can ever think you've got. I'm calling you to be in the image of God. I'm calling you to put aside your own small ideas of who you are and say that you're a person in the image of God, whether you're male or female, young or old. You're there to reflect the image and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your job on this planet, and it's a bigger job than you can ever possibly imagine. So see yourself as someone made by God to reflect God's glory and see yourself in a good way. This is John Edmiston signing off with Uplifting Moments.
Thank you for listening to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston. This is a faith ministry, and if the Lord has touched your heart, you may give securely online at eternity.church.